for those of you that are saying, you know what, I don't mind a good old-fashioned discussion, hopefully done, well, will be done, in a very civil manner, civil tone, with people that I'm pretty sure respect each other, that's what's going to happen today. Ed Schaefer, former governor of the great state of North Dakota, former Secretary of Agriculture, is in the studio. I happen to be at Studio South. I don't know if it's because I thought the storm was overrated or what it was. I just know that I'm here. But we're going to do a once-a-month segment called Table Talk with Ed. We've done one already. A little bumpy, a little rocky, maybe a little off on what we thought the format might be, but we're going to try to change that today. The biggest thing is to make you part of it. If you have a point you want to make, if you have an agreement, if you have a position, both the governor and I want to know. It's that plain. That simple. Now, here's something else we're going to do. Okay, basically, you've got a two-hour show. Well, we're going to have different subjects. For a half hour, it's going to be subjects that I'm interested in bringing up. For another half hour, it's going to be subjects that former Governor Schaefer is going to bring up. Or let's just get to calling him Ed so he doesn't have to say it. And then for the next half hour, it might be me. You see what I'm getting at? It's just going to be just exactly what it's called, which is a good old-fashioned coffee top table conversation. So with that, I want to thank the governor into News and Views. Governor, good to have you back on.
Good morning, Joel. It's good to see you on the screen here.
Yep. but that Abby, she's a tech wizard, isn't she?
She is.
Just a tech wizard. Nothing compared to Gary here, though, Joel.
But she's also, you know, kind of a taskmaster.
Well, Ed and I mean, we just chat up a storm in here. I'm like, hey, you ready to do radio? We're on in 5 seconds.
Well, I asked her earlier, Ed, if you were there. I said, well, I haven't seen him on the computer. She goes, oh, he's visiting with everybody in the newsroom.
I can see him. He's fine. Eventually, I yelled in there for him to come, and I see him look over and come scurrying in here.
I know, and we're right in the middle of a big news story.
So let's get to it a little bit. Governor, I'm going to go first. I want to talk a little bit, if I can, about enforcement. I want to talk about, you know, what happens with the responsibility of the majority. And I want to give an example of all that. You know, we've been doing a series called Capital Punishment. And the whole series began because of the fact that you had a piece of property that wasn't bought until it had been approved to be bought by the legislature at a certain dollar amount. Then we find out that the property went over that cost, and the public itself never knew. The legislature never knew. And basically, that was going to get hidden. I'm sorry, but it was. Then all of a sudden, the attorney general, passes away, and you've got all kinds of issues with the former chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee. My point is this. Who's watching the hen house here? I mean, who's making sure that there isn't profits to the tune of $1.7 to $2 million going to a legislator that nobody would have known about had Wayne Stengem not died? And I'm curious what you think about that, because that burden, that question comes, in my opinion, with a supermajority.
Well, I don't, you know, I think there are a couple of issues here, Joel, that, you know, we should talk about. First of all is, I think, Wayne Stengem's death in the midst of all this, of all the things that have been exposed after that, really shows all of us you should be ready to go anytime, right? I mean, you know, if you're out there building a house of cards, if you're out there, with things that are under the table or in the background or whatever, you know, and you say, well, I'm going to fix them in the future, or I'll just get over them, you know, over the next 5 years or whatever the case may be. You can't, you know, the message is, it can change in the blink of an eye. And so you better be ready. You better be pure. You better be true, you know, all the time. So, you know, that's I think, an important message in this. But, you know, if you're looking at enforcement, I think I'm concerned about that as well. And you just look at the, you know, the thing that drives me crazy is Liz Brocker goes in, who was the, I can't remember the nickname that you used to call her.
Blocker.
Blocker. Liz Blocker, yeah. Because she was the gatekeeper, you know. She was the one that managed everything in the office and things. And so she goes in and said, you know, Wayne's got too much stuff on his email. We got to delete him. And I'm going, you know, where is that in government records? Where is that in transparency? And the thing that's weird to me, Joel, is all of us are warned all the time. You put something out there on your email, you put something in the server, it's always there. You can't get rid of it. You know, I mean, Hillary Clinton can get rid of it because she bleaches her thing out or whatever they call it. But, you know, you can't get rid of them. And so all of a sudden now, boy, we can't recover them. We don't know where there they are. You know, there's just too many unanswered questions here. And you're right. Who is responsible for getting to the information? You know, Drew Wrigley, the current attorney general, has recused himself, you know, of a lot of it because he's sitting on top of it. And rightfully so. The Burleigh County state's attorney, who does have jurisdiction over those kinds of issues, has taken a pass. You know, it's everybody's just kind of throwing the potato around and saying nobody's doing anything. And where's the ultimate authority? I don't know.
Well, that's the problem with a supermajority. You've got a situation where it seems to me that nobody is watching it. You know, nobody, and so it basically what ends up happening is people think it's just going to die and go away. They just want it to go away. And so that's, to me, what's wrong with all of this. You know, we did that piece called Capital Punishment. We got thousands upon thousands of hits on it, right? There's a job for the media in all of this as well. But there's a job for the public. I mean, it isn't just making sure that information gets out to people. It's caring. And I guess what I'm saying is, do you think people care anymore?
Well, unfortunately, we do have a situation of, you know, who cares, whatever. And a lot of that is driven, I think, by the political powers, because, you know, political powers always, when somebody gets in trouble, you know, they always circle the wagons, round up, you know, save them, give them a good image, pat them on the back, don't do it again, you know, kind of thing. And that certainly isn't a Republican issue or a Democrat issue. I mean, I just think that's the political system, that you protect your own. And that's not unusual. I think, you know what, and I don't really know that this is a Republican issue. You keep saying the major, you know, supermajority. I'm not sure, Joel, that it is a Republican issue. I'm thinking it's a wimpiness issue. Nobody wants to deal with it. And so they keep throwing it off into somebody else's lap. And I go like, okay, so, you know, the people of North Dakota put in a ethics commission, right? Where are they in this whole deal? You know, where, you know, they're supposed to be there talking about ethics, talking about power. We're just sitting there, you know, watching them. Where's the governor in this whole, you know, the governor has some authority here, you know.
But I'm gonna push back on the ethics commission a little bit. From my standpoint, when we first made the complaint, when Tyler and Axis and I first made the ethics complaint against Jason Doctor, the legislator that did all of this, the ethics commission actually went about making sure that this ended up in the state's attorney's hands. That took a lot of guts on their part. And you and I both know, because we know how vindictive certain members of the legislature can be, that I will be shocked if the Ethics Commission won't get some of their budget cut next year because of it. That I will guarantee you there's already a draft bill crafted by Jim Casper, Republican from South Fargo, saying that these individuals will no longer be funded. And so it's a tightrope, Governor.
Yeah, it is. It is. And in that case, you and I both have to be ginning up the conversation about not letting that happen. And to some extent, you're right. That is because Republicans have been in office too long. They've been there forever. They, you know, they've, in my opinion, they've taken their eye off the ball of the people and put it in them, you know, in themselves within the own legislative session, within the own legislative powers. And that's just not right. I mean, we're getting to other things, but on this enforcement issue, Joel, how do you build trust in government when you see a situation where legislator can benefit, you know, economically from the money, the budgets that they vote on, the money they put in, the policies they put in place? You know, that's where I'm saying the Ethics Commission ought to be on top of some of this stuff, because it happens all the time. And it's not just Republicans, it's Democrats if they're in power. I mean, it's just, we've got a lot of stuff going on in government that just shouldn't be happening.
Yeah. You know what? If you want to be part of all this, go ahead. We've got some text messages in on it already that the governor and I will address. Welcome back to News and Views. Joel Heitkamp, your host, along with Ed Schaefer, who is the quasi-host. Table Talk with Ed. We're talking about, well, it's my half hour. He gets the next one, but we're talking a little bit about, you know, enforcement, ethics, where we're going with all of that. We asked people to send in text messages. We were talking about the cover-up, the deletion of those emails by Liz Brocker. Attorney General Wrigley announcing that he was going to release a number of those emails last week. He didn't do that. I think it's clearly time for him to do that. And Governor, we asked people to participate. They did. It says, come on, guys. The Republican Party is full of corruption and criminality from the top to the down. You can't blame
on
the Democrats.
No bad guys in the Democrat Party, right?
I would guess. I would guess. Well, I mean, you know, that's his opinion. I mean, his opinion. How do we get from the point where we get to this one? Yeah. Okay, myself as an independent feel a lot of times like I can't talk politics with people, as most people have a position so far on one side, as if every problem that occurs only has two possible solutions, the Democrat way and the Republican way. I'm like what happened to the common sense way of having, you see what they're getting at. How do we get back to that?
And I really like this one. It, you know, it's not the Democrat, it's not the Republican way. It's what's about the common sense deal. And that's what disturbs me most about this issue, really, Joel, is, you know, there is a process. There is a way to do this. The Burleigh County State's attorney has responsibility here to do something, and she took a powder. You know, you know, you look at it, and Drew Wrigley, the attorney general, gets in office. Wayne Stengem dies. And listen, you know, Wayne is a good, and, you know, was a good friend of mine, family friends forever. You know, I mean, I respect him. He was a strong public servant for many, many, many years, and gave himself to the political structure. And so you're dealing with something that's here that's pretty delicate, and you want to get to the bottom. You want to get the truth, and we're not doing it. You know, so they go in and delete the emails, and then we start arguing about, well, can you recover them? No, and then the time lapses, and all of a sudden people say that you can recover things forever. All of a sudden you can't recover them, which makes no sense to me. Then, you know, then we get some of them on the cell phone that came off the cell phone that we didn't know were there. And then all of a sudden we do know they're there. And, you know, do they contain information or don't they? Or are they stuff relevant to the investigations with Ray Holmberg or not? You know, we don't know. So that, you know, that we're keeping people in the dark about stuff like this. And when you keep people in the dark, imaginations just flourish. And, you know, everybody, and, you know, there's an email text in here that says, I'm sure those emails they found will disappear too. You know, well, that's not because they're going to disappear, because I'm pretty sure they won't. But it's people don't have any trust in it. We're not including people. We're not transparent. We're not doing what we should be, to putting this information out for people to understand. You know, we shouldn't be sitting. Go ahead.
But this was the news over the weekend, Ed. Speaker Nathy now saying that any criminal charges against doctor are completely inappropriate. And he talks about the lack of clarity when it comes to the ethical issue. Well, who the hell's job was it to fix that?
Yeah.
I mean, we tried for years to fix that. We in the minority party tried for years to put a bite to that. This isn't the first time that we've seen legislative power abused for personal gain. I mean, this isn't the first time for that. And so now his whole thing is, well, you know, forget what doctor did because we didn't do our job. Well, isn't that? You talk about a powder. That's a powder.
Well, it is a powder. And unfortunately, it isn't a Republican or when you know, in a minority situation trying to change it. I mean, you know, when I was elected in 1992, the Democrats, your party, had 40 years of controlling that state house. And I had example after example about how Democrats benefited from state funds, from state money, from state programs and things like that because of the party they were in. Well, you know, so that's wrong on the Democrat side. In my opinion, it's wrong on the Republican side as well.
What's the example of that?
Okay, so in the Senate administration, they put out, as an example, an RFP, a request for proposal. And the request for proposal was for printing, for instance. But the printing in the proposal only would fit certain kind of machines, and the only people that owned those machines were Democrat operatives.
Well, you just described Bruce Jovig and how he does the publicity side. You had to have so many employees, or not Bruce Jovig, but Pat Finken. I mean, okay, when we come back, it's Ed's turn. He gets to bring the topic up. Stick around. Welcome back to the News and Views, our radio network. All right, it's time to turn the keys over to the former governor of the great state of North Dakota, and that is Ed Schaefer for round two.
Yes. And, Joe, this is great, but I've been looking at some of these texts that are coming in, and I'm thinking we should continue this conversation a little bit because, you know, we're digging at some things here that are pretty important. And, you know, a couple of the you know, I'd made the comment that, you know, it isn't just Republicans who are corrupt and bad, you know, Democrats are too. And there's several texts in here that says, you know, that no, it's the Republicans and Republicans own the state politically. And so it's all Republican faults, et cetera. And this will move into something I want to talk about later, but you know, it's Republicans are bad, Democrats are good because Republicans are in power. But how can you say, it's all the Republicans. I mean, don't Democrats have any bad guys too? You know, but I think they do. I mean, there are Democrats who are under indictment, you know, for taking money. They're, you know, Bob Menendez or whatever his name is in New Jersey, you know, is under indictment for having bribes and for getting payoffs and things like that, you know, using government positions to enrich yourself. And who goes to Congress? You know, people go to Congress, people go to Washington, D.C., paupers, and come out millionaires, you know, and they do inside trading and they do, you know, they enrich their pockets and they have special interest groups that pay their bills. And, you know, they have lavish dinners and lavish vacations and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it isn't Democrats or Republicans. Unfortunately, it is the system that disturbs me so much that we allow this to happen. And
well, let me respond to some of that. Menendez, you're right. I think he's a crook. And I think evidence has shown he's a crook. But the Democrats voted to kick him out, to sanction him, and send that signal to the people of New Jersey, who the Democrats in New Jersey are kicking him out. His voice now is he's going to have to run as an independent. They also said that if charges need to be brought against him, bring them against him.
Yeah.
I think it's how you respond to it. I don't think you can, you know, people elect people that aren't good people. For the most part, that's not true. But they do. They elect people that aren't good people. And, you know, I think that the Ray Holmberg thing is a perfect example of that. The question is, how do you respond to it? And I'll match my party up against yours when it comes to responding to a bad, you know, apple, so to speak.
Well, you know, we're all going to take sides, you know, on that deal. But I do think that the thing that bothers me is as much as anything, and you made the comment, is sometimes people elect bad people. But I think what happens in this case, and we have to look at the Republican Party in that, who, you know, are in power, so to speak, or are in authority positions in the state of North Dakota is they're not doing it. And they're not doing it because, and you made the comment way up early, do people care anymore? You know, they're not doing it because people aren't pounding on their doors. People aren't saying, why are you doing this? Why aren't they? They're not getting the calls and the emails and the pressure from talk shows. And they're not, you know, I mean, they're not feeling it. And so they're going like, okay, well, we don't have to do anything. You'll just wait it out. It'll go away. Everything will be fine. And we'll get all elected next year. That's not right. I mean, we people have a responsibility to be pounding on this as well. But I don't think the Republican Party, in my opinion, in North Dakota really is connected to the people of North Dakota and understanding and feeling and hearing what they're going through. So we need to get we need to get the people here on board. And that is what can make a difference.
Yeah. You know, from my standpoint, the tell, Ed, is going to be whether or not they try to gut the Ethics Commission or expand it. Because, well, I don't think as a leader of the House, like Nathie is, I don't think that you can run around saying that, you know, the problem we have is that it isn't clear. Well, you know what? Clarify it.
Yeah. Well, that would be just too easy, wouldn't it? I mean, that's what they said about the email. They said, you know, you can't charge a criminal cost of, you can't charge criminality on deleting the emails because it wasn't clear whether they were public information or not, or this and that. In my opinion, they were public property, but they said it wasn't clear. So the legislature in the next session did clarify that email, text, et cetera, are public records. So, you know, you can fix it. I don't know that it needed fixing, but they did, quote, fix it. But, you know, isn't that what you should be? We have to build trust in government. Where are we building trust in government? This whole deal with this email, with the inside job on the lease on the building before you even owned the building. You know, where's the accountability? How are we building trust? We're not. And we need to.
Well, but then, okay, let's take that another step. You've got the leader of the House, Republicans, coming to the defense of a Republican who rented a building or leased a building before he owned it, knew that the building cost had overrun, knew that it hadn't been approved legislatively. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't need an ethics commission to know that I'm stealing from the government.
Yeah, no kidding. And you know, when the ethics commission was put in place by the people of North Dakota, by the way, there was some controversy about that. And I wasn't real keen on an ethics commission because I thought it could be used to further political balance. And in other words, you know, it's pretty easy 10 days before an election, you know, to make some ethics charge for a candidate right before the election when you don't have a chance to dig into it and defend it or get the information, et cetera. So I was concerned about the ethics commission. But you know what? The people of North Dakota put it in place,
yeah,
and it's there, and we should use it. Now, is it good enough for the Ethics Commission to say, oh, my gosh, this is wrong, and so I've been put it are we going to put it in the state's attorney's lap? You know, I didn't know that. I didn't hear that. I didn't see that in the headlines. I didn't see the Ethics Commission weighing in on publicly on this thing. And that's what we're dealing with, is the public here doesn't have the information. They don't have,
yeah,
you know, I mean, we got to.
Well, okay, then let me take it. And I want to clarify something, Mike LaFleur rather than Nathie.
Yes, yes.
And that was on me. I'm sorry about that. One's House, one Senate. But I want to throw this at you. Okay, so you've got a district attorney. You've got the chief legal counsel and the person who decides when and where to file crimes in Burley County. You've got a situation with Liz Brocker where there already was this cloud of controversy, but she chose to hire her, okay? So the public sees this. They see someone go in the middle of the night, and they see her leave one government job from the chief law enforcement officer from the state and go to work for another job where she's working for the chief law enforcement officer for Burleigh County. Now, that to me is bad enough, but then you add in the factor that she gets investigated by, you know, in the whole, hey, I've got to recuse myself, Drew Wrigley. So Montana comes in, investigates it, and she won't talk to him. She literally will not talk to them, and yet she still has a job in the Burleigh County State's Attorney. Now, by law, she's got her Fifth Amendment right. I get that. But should someone like that be working in government? And that's what people are upset about, because that's when you get so comfortable with power that Julie Lawyer can hide Liz Brocker.
Well, in the case with Julie Lawyer and Liz Brocker, you know, I don't know if they're Republicans or Democrats or what. You know, it's not political.
Let me just clarify. They are.
So Julie Lawyer is a Republican.
Yes.
Okay, I didn't know that.
If she's not, Julie, come on and we'll debate that. And twice on Sunday, yes.
You're making that assumption, and I don't, you know, I certainly don't know how she votes or who she supports, whatever. And you know, I want to get into that in our next segment. But, you know, my point is this. It's wrong. I mean, when I heard that Julie Lawyer hired Liz Brocker, I thought, this is bad, right? I mean, this is cover-up. This is sheltering. You know, this is saving. And, you know, and it seems to me we got to solve this. You got some text in here saying, okay, you know, you can talk about it all you want, but how are you going to fix it? You know, and, you know, talking about corruption in New York isn't helping. And I agree, because my point is it shouldn't be a Republican issue. It shouldn't be a Democratic issue. It should be an issue of the people of North Dakota and how their government operates, how their government represents them, and how their government directs their lives. And I think in this case, we're holding the bag. We're wondering what's going on, what's happening, where is it? You know, and there's another text in here that says, what about where are all the boxes they took out of his office? You know, they went in and cleaned out his office. Now that means, you know, his desk drawer. Okay, they dumped his desk drawer into a box. They took everything off the files. You've been in his office. I've been in Wayne Stengem offices. There were binders, you know, in the bookcases. There were piles of paper all over. There were things. Where is that stuff? Where is it? You know, I mean, do they have it? Don't they? Is it, you know, being hidden? Is Liz Brocker have it in her office down at Julie Lawyer's office? You know, where is it? And they all say, well, it's part of the investigation. Well, you know what? I want to know where it is. And if it's in a part of it, if it's in part of the investigation, fine. Tell me it's there, you know, because I'm sitting here going, where is it? Did they go throw it in the river? You know, I mean,
should the emails be public already?
Yes.
There. I mean, there. All right, let's head to you can't get more honest than that. That's what he thinks. Once a month, we're going to have with Ed Schaefer, and a couple people obviously like it. Ed, please return to public office in North Dakota again and bring some similarly sensible people with you. If Dems can't get elected in North Dakota right now, then best thing is for you to return to office. another one. Joel, I can hardly believe I'm saying this, but Ed Schaefer may just allow me to respect Republicans again. I used to, and then I stopped. I hope others are listening. Another one. I have had to rearrange my morning because I always enjoy the conversations with Ed. I'm an independent, so no bias. I may not always agree with Ed, but I do respect him for his demeanor. Now, how fast can your wife type? I mean, those are pretty good ones.
That's good for the ego this morning.
Well, I think they're right. I mean, I do. You don't know what this subject's going to be, and I don't. And yet you're sitting in that chair being honest. I thought the word yes was the best answer of the day.
Well, it's, you know what it means to me, Joel, is this. I should, you know, there was some stuff about keep this in North Dakota and not advance to other things. But I want to tell a story about what I think is really important. President Uribe in Colombia. When President Uribe was in Colombia and they had all the drug stuff and all the corruption and all the graft and everything was awful, he set forth a program to clean up the corruption in the Colombian government, which was being overrun by drug lords, et cetera, kind of like Mexico today. And so anyway, I was talking to him and I said, well, how do you know that your programs are working? And he said, I have 82 members of my own political party in jail for corruption. You know, that's how I know it's working, right? I mean, you know, it can't be a party thing. It can't be, you know, it can't be Republicans saving Republicans. It can't be Democrats saving Democrats. It has to be government by the people. And the people here, you know, really deserve to have transparency, to have direction, to know what's going on. And so they can make a judgment to whether it's right or wrong instead of inventing whether it's right or wrong or imagining whether it's right or wrong. And we don't know. And I think, you know, we're sitting here saying, how do you deal with it in North Dakota? You got the Burley County state's attorney taking a powder. You got the Montana guys can't get the information. You have the attorney general that's kind of in a tough position because it's in his office. And how do you deal with it? You know, the people elect the governor in North Dakota. You know, maybe the governor needs to step in here and say, look, this is the direction where we need to go. And if we're going to if our government is going to represent the people here deserve some answers.
Well, and it also pleads into the fact that you can get so big, so strong, so powerful that you end up with two political parties all under the same heading. You brought up the fact that the Democrats had such power years ago, and you kind of broke through that ceiling by winning the governor's race after all of those years. I would also add this. In the Democratic Party, there had become somewhat of two Democratic parties. You remember, because both you and I are old enough to remember, that Quentin Burdick and Byron Dorgan weren't exactly going fishing together. Fair to say?
Yeah. Nor John Hygaard and Nick Spaeth.
Yep. Exactly. You know, Bill Hygaard and Nick Spaeth, that one went for a long time, and it probably did more to take down the Democratic Party than anything. My problem with this is, okay, we say this, but then we go backwards and use examples of what others have done. The problem today, I mean, the problem today isn't the problem of Bill Clinton cheating on his wife. Okay. I mean, you hear all the time, well, you know, Bill Clinton, he cheated on his wife. Nobody brings that up anymore now with Donald Trump. I mean, that part's done. Okay. So if we're going to look in the past, we're not going to fix what the problem is now. And to me, I mean, the state's attorneys and other people can give these guys powders. You know, we're about to find out a lot, you know, but. And until we get our sleeves rolled up and dig into it and not forget it, look at Nico Rios up in Williams County, Governor.
Yeah.
Nico Rios, he's still around.
I'm with you. And, you know, and the problem we have is today, again, the people, you know, if the Supreme Court comes out with a judgment that the Democrats like, you know, then they're great. If the Supreme Court comes out with a judgment that Republicans don't like, then they're awful and we got to get rid of them, right? I mean, it's, you know, the people here are not weighing in on this whole thing.
Yep. When we come back, more of the same. They say, can Ed run for governor again? The answer is yes, he can.
And we're back on the Joel Heitkamp Show. This is Ed Schaefer sitting in, and now not sitting in, sitting in with Joel. And this segment is Table Talk with Ed. Once a month, Joel and I get together and we have a chance to talk about politics and good stuff too. and really, you know, we're really interested in what's going on out there with what are people thinking, what are people talking about, you know, what's going on. And I've noticed we've got a ton of texts coming in. And so far, we haven't offended too many people, Joel. But
near as I can tell, it's your fan club. I mean, every other one wants you to run for governor again.
Well, I see there's a couple of for you in there, too.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. You know, they love your honesty. I mean that, and I mean that as sincerely. I thought we worked pretty well together, and we had different political philosophies, but they just love an honest answer, and so I want to compliment you for that.
Well, why not? That's what we're here for. And really, to get some answers, you know, we've got a lot of texts coming in. on the Adventure RV text line. But, you know, we used to get some phone calls, too. We haven't had any phone calls. And we've got the KFGO studio line sponsored by Laney's here. And you can call 237-5948 or give us a call at 1-800-880-5346. So we can get some on-air voices here as well. But as we go into this portion of the show, Joel, I kind of want to follow up, because in the efforts that we've talked about this morning, you know, we get it's Republicans are bad guys and Democrats are bad guys or good guys or vice versa, whatever the case may be. And, you know, I keep hearing this today about Republicans are so awful, or Republicans are in power in North Dakota, so it's all their fault, you know, and those kinds of things. And what I wanted to talk about with you is, what is a Republican? What is a Democrat? You know, what I mean, is it the Democrat Party and Bismarck, you know, and the officers? Is it the people in the street and Belfield, North Dakota, you know, that are going to the elevator in the cafe and talking politics? Is it, you know, where do we shape our government as Republicans and Democrats? And so why I'm leading into this is, long ago in the middle 1980s, when I had the first thought of I should run for governor, I thought, okay, well, who am I? Am I Republican? My parents were Republicans, so maybe I should be a Democrat. You know, I mean, I wasn't politically active. I really didn't know who I was. So I went about and I read all the books. I'm a Republican because, and I'm a Democrat on the pamphlet because these happens. This is the Republican philosophy and this is the Democratic philosophy. And, you know, when I came to a couple of conclusions, one is both sides are right. Both sides are important. Both philosophies work to shape our government the best it can be for all the people. And then I really had to come to grips with who I am and what I represent. And so, you know, for me, and what I felt my own personal philosophies and direction was, I fit better within the confines of the Republican Party, but not 100%, of course, but, you know, just felt that's where I needed to be. So I ran as a Republican. But today, what does that mean? What does being a Republican mean? What does Democrat mean in North Dakota especially? And who says they are or they aren't? I mean, we have in North Dakota, in the Republican Party, for instance, we have a faction of the party that thinks they decide who's going to be a Republican and who isn't. You know, people say to me, you're a rhino. You're a Republican in name only because you don't support this or you don't support that or whatever the case may be. So who chooses who's a Republican and who's a Democrat? Who says I'm a Republican or a Democrat? Or I'm not, or you are, or who gives you the authority to be one or not? Where does that come from, Joel?
I think it comes from the fringe groups. And I think it's there until the middle of us tell them no. That's not who we're going to be. And the difference between the two parties right now, as I see it, is that you've got the AOCs, you've got the, you know, I mean, you've got some far left people at times that are attempting to define the Democratic Party, and they're not getting by with it. They're really not. If you look at Nancy Pelosi, for example, everybody thinks bleeding heart liberal. Nancy Pelosi, one of her best allies was Collin Peterson, which most people said wasn't a Democrat. To me, what's happening and what's missing in what you just described is a good old-fashioned Republican Party in the debate to hold the Democratic Party in on certain spending ideas. Which is always what you could count on the Republican Party to mean. Less government, less government, less government. And I respected that. But you're not that anymore. I mean, you're the party of Donald Trump. And Donald Trump doesn't believe in less government. Look at the debt. Look at the spending. Look at everything that went along with it. And so in the end, it comes down to who defines you as a party. You were never going to get called a rhino when you were governor. Never. Yeah, because you were the face, the name, everything of the Republican Party. Period.
Well, I'm called a rhino when I put my I'd put my conservative credentials up against anybody, you know. And matter of fact, I'm the one who lowered the cost of government in the state of North Dakota. What, you know, and I'm a rhino. I mean, that doesn't make sense to me. But here's my point. Who's saying I'm a Republican or not? Who is the authority here that says I'm a Republican or not? You know, that's what I don't understand. And so, you know, somebody in Main Street that's sitting in the coffee shop says I'm a Republican. Why? Why? Is it, you know, where are those values, Joel? To me, the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, should be built around values. What do you stand for? What's your philosophy? How would you direct government? How do you govern? What those kinds of things should be. And today we get into the someone saying, well, you're not a Republican. I want to know, you know, in Minot, North Dakota, and somebody that's sitting in a coffee shop with table talk like we're doing today, and someone says, I'm a Democrat, why? And how, you know, why are you a Democrat? You know, I mean, who's saying you get to be a Democrat or you don't get to be a Democrat? You know, where's the authority? I mean, I don't get this.
To some degree, what you asked is which party has the bigger tent. And, you know, that's been a debate going on for a long time. The bigger problem, as I see it, lies now, and I stress the word now, it always hasn't been that, on your side of the aisle, because there's only one person deciding whether or not you're a Republican or not. Only one. And he has the pulpit and the ability to do it. And that's Donald Trump. And so you can say, no, I'm focused locally here, Joel. I'm focused as a state. Okay. If you look at the minority of the Republican caucus in the North Dakota House, for example, you're looking at a group of people that are huge Trumpers that aren't necessarily the majority in the legislature. But they have people living in fear of doing exactly what's happening in our congressional race right now. The barometer of whether or not you can be a Republican now is simply whether or not you support Donald Trump. Now, you tell me I'm wrong about that.
Well, I think you're missing my point, because you're getting into, you know, Republican versus Democrat, et cetera. My point is, if someone sits down and says, I'm a Republican, and someone next to them says, you're not, who's the arbiter? You know, who's the one that says, I'm a Republican, I'm not a Republican? And to me, what I don't understand is the method of being a Republican or a Democrat. And to me, it's all about the people and not the party. And you're right. We have a huge division in our party, and Donald Trump, I don't think, have done any favors for the North Dakota Republican Party because of his actions and deeds. But I think, you know, here's the reality. Someone in the party is saying, you support Donald Trump or you're not a Republican. You know, someone in the party, in who's the party? Who's the party? And what I want to know is, if I'm a person in Bell, you know, wherever you want to be, I can't remember what I used to say, but Bathgate to Beach, right? If you're in Bathgate to Beach, if you're someone in there and you're sitting there and you're saying, I'm a Republican because I believe in this value, this value, this value, this value. I'm a Republican. And aren't I the one that gets to say I'm a Republican? Aren't I, as an individual, the one that gets to say, I believe in these values, I am? Who are these rulers in the party that say you are or you aren't, you're in or you're not?
But you're saying I missed the point when I told you exactly who your ruler is. On my side of the aisle, the Democrats hated at times Bill Clinton because he was a very conservative president. Fiscally. I mean, he made the tax deal. He cut the deal with Newt Gingrich. Democrats were throwing things. They were so mad. Well, you know what? He was the Democratic Party. I mean, he was. And so I understand what you're getting at. To me, here's what the Democratic Party is. Here's my litmus test, okay? I ask the question, do you believe in Social Security? Do you believe in Medicare? I mean, do you believe in SNAP? Do you believe in the fact that the public library system deserves to be funded? I mean, those are barometers and tests. Now, that doesn't mean your side doesn't agree with it, but the people on my side better agree with it.
Okay, we're back. This is Table Talk with Ed on KFGO News and Views and the Joel Heitkamp Show. Joel and I are having some great discussions, and Joel, I want to just hit you on one thing here, and then we're going to get some phone calls, and I'm not even going to get a chance to respond. But I'm telling you, you're doing the same thing. You're saying if I'm a Republican, then I have to support Donald Trump. Or if Donald Trump is a party, he's a Republican party, so you're not one because you don't support Donald Trump, whatever the case may be. And my point is, I want to be a Republican. I want to say I'm a Republican. It's not about Donald Trump. It's not about putting librarians in jail. You know, it's about bragging about being the largest budget in the history of North Dakota, which is not a conservative value, in my opinion. So I want to be a Republican because of the values that I carry. How can I get that back into the party system? I don't know. I'm afraid it's going to have to crash here or something, before we get the party put back together. But in any case, Jason's been holding. Jason, thank you for holding on. What are you thinking about today?
You know what I'm thinking about, Ed? I'm thinking that you, Joel, and myself are all UND grads, and that makes us exceptionally smart people.
I love it.
Well, let me clarify, Jason. I didn't graduate. I went home and had to go to work in a hurry. My dad got sick, but go ahead.
That's okay. We're Democrats and Republicans, but we're also UND supporters and grads. So anyway, I'm sort of really kind of all over the place on what I was going to say here, but with the Libertarians finally getting on the ballot in North Dakota, I'm starting to think of these parties' ability. And I'm a registered Republican in another state, but I'm a former North Dakotan. I listen religiously. I couldn't imagine voting for a Democrat, but with all the corruption going on in North Dakota, I am starting to think that I need to start paying attention to what party can manage corruption better than the other. And the unfortunate thing I have in this case is my own party in North Dakota is running the corruption show here. The Democrats are so persona non grata, they can't even release a press, a press statement half the time and get any traction on any of this stuff. So I'm wondering, what are your thoughts on the Libertarians entering, and what are your thoughts on starting to put parties' ability to manage corruption over policy? Because right now we're not managing our corruption. In North Dakota, we don't even hide it. It's out in the open, and it stays there. What are your thoughts?
Well, Joel, are you going, or?
Well, I'll let you go.
Okay.
I mean, I have an answer, but I think it's more interesting from you. Yeah. You've won statewide office.
Well, it's interesting, Jason. You know, and thanks for furthering the discussion. It's a tough one because I don't think corruption is exclusive to one party or another. Now it's focused now today because Republicans have been in leadership, in our state for 30 years. So it's naturally and should go there because, as Jason's right, doesn't seem like we're managing it really well. But the big thing about it is got to be transparent. Jason said, we're not even, Republicans aren't even, don't even try to hide it anymore. You know, it's just right out in the open. Why is that? Why is that? It's because people let them get away with it. And we can't. We just got to stop as voters, as supporters, as yellers, as callers in, we've got to put our foot down and say, you got to stop it.
Well, I will throw one out, Jason. To me, the indicator, and it goes back to how Ed opened this subject, which, and maybe he and I both are on different pages by him saying that he thinks I might be missing the point. I think I'm making my point by this, which is Kelly Armstrong has been elected by the people of North Dakota how many times for the United States Congress? He wants to be our governor now. Tammy Miller came out 100 miles an hour saying, you know what, the reason she should be elected is because she supports Donald Trump. And what did Kelly Armstrong do? His first argument was she doesn't support him enough. So if people want to know how a party is defined, I think you have to go there. You know, Joe Biden, for example, interest rates went up. You got to own that. I get it. You understand it. You're coming out of a potential of a recession, you know, but here you sit. you're being defined by the philosophy of the people that are head of the party. And what you want, Ed, is for it to come from the grassroots.
Yes.
I get it. I understand it. It's not going to in your party till you fix one guy.
We had a phone call for somebody, Joel, that's saying, you know, you wouldn't fit in the Republican Party of today. Well, you know what? I do. I'm a Republican. I believe in it. And I believe in Republican values. The party isn't in Bismarck, North Dakota, or legislators, or the governor, or whatever. I am the party. I'm the one that's out there. I believe in Republican values.
All right. Just remind people, this is Table Talk with Ed. I really appreciate my phone's exploded. People are enjoying the civil, good old-fashioned political debate. And so that's what we're going to do once a month here. Also, I know that both Ed and I are doing podcasts, and we're going to get to that as well, that you can continue conversations. But let's get to the phone lines. Larry, you're on with Ed Schaefer and Joel Heitkamp.
Hi, Governor Schaefer, Joel. Joel, it's Larry up in Mayville. One thing that I didn't understand about the Stendon deal, when Montana investigated it, they just kind of dropped it. And all those emails came in afterwards. I mean, what was the reasoning there? And I got one more thing I want to ask.
Sure. They didn't give him subpoena power. I mean, he didn't have the ability to subpoena individuals so that they had to go on record. They could just say no. I mean, wouldn't you agree, Governor, that was a major problem with the investigation?
Absolutely. It's just this political football, evidently, that people are just tossing, or the hot potato, you know, throw it over here. Well, they don't take it. Throw it over there. They don't take it. Put it over there. The stonewall. How can you do an investigation if you can't talk to the people involved? You know, I mean, it's I just think there's a text in here, Joel, that says we're looking for accountability. You know, we're just looking for accountability in our government. I mean, can't we just have that? You know,
right.
I mean, I agree. I mean, this disturbing to me, this whole email thing. First of all, that they get deleted. Then there's no accountability for the person who deleted them. Then they try to do an investigation, and you can't get any information. And it's not just on the emails. I mean, a lot of the emails that were deleted were involved in a very serious allegation and difficult charges against a Republican legislator from Grand Forks. You know what? I mean, all of that's now disappeared or been set on the wayside. It just bothers me that there isn't a mechanism. There is a mechanism that's not being put in place that's saying this is how we, as you started, Joel, in this whole program today, enforcement. Why are not our laws, accountability, transparency being enforced in the state of North Dakota?
Larry, you had a second point.
Okay, one question. As a Trail County Commissioner, we compete with Cass County, Grand Forks County, and Western Minnesota for employees. And this would be a wonderful topic for, like, one of your shows coming up, and Abby, you write it down for them. But it's the first thing that they took away from the county. They're not going to have the decent retirement for the people that we hire and stay, because that new board changed everything to, like, a 401k thing. And it's just not going to work. You know, I like to get back to the old system.
Yeah. Thank you, Larry. Thanks for the call, Ed. That goes back to Doug Burgum's change when it comes to state retirement. You know, the old rule of 85 type retirement versus what they put in place now. I don't know if you would have advanced that or not.
Well, you know, actually in the 90s when we were in the Capitol, we did talk about, you know, the difference between a defined benefit and a defined contribution plan. Defined benefit plan is here are your benefits, you get them no matter what. Defined contribution plan is here's the benefits you've earned. We put them in a pot that earns money, and that's what you get in the end. So, and I think at the time, Joel, we made it optional. We made it optional for some people, whatever, because I know, you know, it's interesting. The governor, of course, doesn't get to participate in the retirement programs for the first 4 years. You have to do a good enough job to get reelected, you know?
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. So the second 4 years that I was there, so I have a small amount of retirement, and that is in a defined contribution plan. So that's been it's been invested by TIAA CREF under the advances of the State Investment Board. And, you know, and all that. So I, you know, that's where my minuscule retirement check is coming from. I think it's $34.80 a month or something like that.
Okay.
But,
well, that's, yeah, it was, in your life, that goes to your Y membership, and mine, it goes to a case of beer. So there, we got enough. Let's get to Brad. Brad, you're on News and Views.
Yeah. Guys, I was wondering if, I guess it depends on what judge is appointed. Whether or not University of North Dakota land, 24 acres, can be sold, since University of North Dakota is in the state constitution, it doesn't seem like it's constitutional. I wonder if anybody's challenging that. I doubt it. My second question would be the oil triggers, good or bad? All I have to listen.
Thanks, Brad. Go ahead, Governor.
Well, I think as far as the University of North Dakota selling land that it owns under the auspices of the people of North Dakota, I think you have assets that are under the umbrella of the University of North Dakota. You shut some buildings down, you build some buildings, you demolish some buildings, and then you build others or you renovate others. I mean, you know, you're always dealing with your assets up and down. They are assets. And, you know, I believe, and I think if you're talking about that 24 acres on the golf course, you know, I think it should be sold. And I think you have an opportunity to do so. You should do it, because the money is more important to the people of North Dakota than a piece of unproductive piece of property that's under the auspices of UND.
I want to throw something out to you, though, because you were the president of the University of North Dakota for a while. They can use interim, they can use whatever you want. You had the keys. University of North Dakota, which it was pointed out earlier, is a place that's near and dear to me, to you, to the caller that called in. It has really turned into the good old boys club up there. I mean, it has. It has turned the people they're giving awards to are controversial, but yet they're members of the good old boys club. The people that they're making head of the alumni association are part of the good old boys club. It is no longer, in my opinion, this beacon out there that you can look at and say, "Well, wait a second. I trust this individual to not let it get an absolutely terrible black eye someday." And I'm picking away at the edges here.
Yep.
I get it. I understand it. But I want you to tell me I'm wrong or right about this.
Well, I think you have to look at action. I mean, it's always easy to say, you know, for instance, when I was in the governor's office, you know, we had all the controversy all the time about the Fighting Sioux and the nickname and should it be there and shouldn't it and all that. And, you know, people would say, yes, you have to have it. And people would say, no, you can't have it. And go around. And my stance was this. You can talk about it. You can say things, whatever. What is the University of North Dakota doing? What are we doing to build relationships with the Indian community? We have the Indians in Medicine program, which is stellar and the best one in the United States of America. We've got Indians business program. We've got a Indians in nursing program. You know, we're developing, we're adding, we're educating, we're having people go back to the reservation land and increase in lifting up people and increasing the value of those reservations. So it's what your actions are. And this right now, you've got a bad individual. I mean, when I was there, we had a professor who was an alcoholic and he was showing up and it was awful. And professors supported him and other professors didn't. Do you get rid of him? Do you fire? You know, and I'm going like, what's happening in the department? Forget the people. What are we delivering for education of the students? And I'm not condoning the behavior. And as a matter of fact, we got rid of the person who had the problem. But my point is, what is happening? So today, you know, you can say, boy, we've got this thing coming. It's really going to hurt the image of North Dakota. And I look at it and say, you know what? The University of North Dakota, when we were up there, we trimmed the budgets. We changed the things. We gave some priority and direction to that university system. And you know, every single department on that campus today has a minimum of a 5% surplus in every department. And you know what? And they're spending money on campus security, on scholarships, on recruiting. And what's the one university in this whole region that has a growing student population? UND.
Okay. You know? You say that, and I appreciate it. And quite frankly, I respect it. But you talk about the alumni, you talk about the people out there and their perception of an institution, and perception matters. You know, you brought up the nickname. That was a wet bundle of whatever that you had to deal with. That wasn't the genesis of that wasn't Ed Schaefer, but that came about and you had to deal with it. I would argue this, that when it came to that, there was what, a 3-year, 5-year window to save the nickname. If that's getting away from what you said, the students, the education, the students, totally respect that. But when you look at what the public perception is from the alumni standpoint, that's still an open wound. It hasn't even scabbed over yet. And the man we talked about earlier made the deal to have X number of years to get this thing done. Never once drove down to Standing Rock. Never once drove down to Cannonball and met with the tribe. And that's Wayne Stengem. The Spirit Nation in Devil's Lake voted overwhelmingly to keep that nickname. They would have done that with the tribe on the south end of our border. And granted, South Dakota was a player in that. But you and I both know, you go in there and say, listen, we're gonna share in this. We're going to make sure you get part of all that memorabilia, part of all that. You get so much of a hat. You get so much of a shirt. You know what? You would have had a decent conversation. But Wayne never got in the Suburban and drove down there.
Well,
and now these same people are being honored as though, oh, my God, you know, the Jovigs of the world are the reason there's a UND. The Jovigs of the world were the worst thing to happen to UND. I'm sorry. They are.
You know, Wayne Stengem, in my opinion, and you know, I love the guy, he was a friend. I didn't agree with him. And I think the settlement he made with the NCAA was just wrong. You know, I mean, it was wrong. And there was another wrong thing in this too, because the settlement said an election, right? And so, as you said, the Standing Rock tribe wouldn't even take it to election. They wouldn't even put it on the ballot to let the people vote for it like they did at Spirit Lake. So, in my opinion, a governor sitting in that chair should have called a statewide election and fulfilled the terms of that settlement. That's easy to say now. I said it then. But, you know, that's water over the dam. You know, the point is, you know, you're not responsible for the university after someone graduates. You know? And
yes.
We had the incident of the Canadian designer fashion guy that got all, you know, kinds of in trouble. And he was, you know, I don't know if he's a Sue Award winner, but he was, you know, a big hero on campus and a big donor. And he was on the Hall of Fame over at the Center for Innovation and all. And so he got legal after his trial and after he was declared guilty and serving a sentence, he was removed from UND. They took his name off the building. You know, they I don't know if they gave his money back or if they're giving it to someone else. You know, how they did that. But anyway, you know, he was a bad actor as an alum, not as a student. And you know what? They took care of it.
Yeah. Well, write it down. They're going to have to take care of some things in the future. Table Talk with Ed. We're going to do this once a month where we'll get you access to the governor.
Joel, I enjoyed it up until right before the break when you started calling me names. Jeez, talk about stabbing me in the back on the way out the door, man.
I confused Schaefer with Schultz. That's a guy. Let's get to Gail. Gail, you're on News and Views. Go ahead.
Hi. I just have a question for Ed Schaefer.
Hi, Gail.
Ed, you keep talking about Republican values, and it's just thrown out there like it is a given. And I don't even know what the Republican values are anymore. And if they're different than the Trump crowd, why don't they assert themselves and make some changes? Unless the Republican values are truly what's exemplified in North Dakota. You know, is it not supporting kids that are in need of hot lunch money? Is it not supporting any kind of gun control? Is it making life harder for gays and transgenders in our state? Those are the questions I have. What are the Republican values?
Thank you, Gail. Appreciate it.
Yeah, and that's great, because that's kind of just exactly, you know, what I'm talking about. It's so confusing right now. Nobody knows. It's just, I'm a Republican, or somebody says you are and you aren't. And, you know, to me, the Republican, and I think we need to get back to Republican values. I mean, because I don't think we know. Gail doesn't know what Republican values are. You know, the values of individual liberty and the government only doing that for you, which you cannot do for yourself, for priority limited budgets, for growth in government that matches population or income, in delivering government services in the best possible way at the least possible cost. You know, those are things. And the biggest one, in my opinion, is the long-term view versus the short-term view. You know, the Democrats have a short-term view. Here's a problem, fix it. If it causes another problem next time, we'll fix that problem. Democrats look long-term and say, hey, wait a minute. We can't do that right now because this might happen, that might happen, that might happen. And you know what? If it isn't a blend of those two things, the short-term fix and the long-term view, you're not getting good policy. But you have to be able to come to the table with what you believe in to be able to move public policy forward. It's that discussion between the two sides and the two views that give you good public policy, Gail, and we don't have that going on today.
Well, I think I could make an argument that the Affordable Care Act, Medicare, Social Security were long-term problems that got fixed with long-term solutions. So my party did come through in a couple ways with a long-term vision, but I can tell we're already lining up for the next show. I tell you, Governor, this has been fun for me. I thank you for agreeing to do this. Judging by the response we're getting, people want more of it. So we will do it again next month, right or wrong?
Absolutely. We'll be here.
You bet. Folks, I'm going to be back.
Ed Schaefer, though.
One time you get it wrong. Ed Shearing will be joining us another time. Good riding with you, folks.